This is David Humphreys. I'm sitting with Les Fall in the comfort of his sitting room to discuss the 8 tracks that have been made available on the website www.bunkerhilljersey.je. All these tracks are available free to download, and all we ask is that you kindly make a donation to one of the charities the band is supporting. These are Dementia Jersey, Motor Neuron Disease Association, Donna Anand Melanoma Charity, and Mind Jersey. For those who don't know my connection with Bunker Hill, I was lucky to be there when the band was formed in 1971, and not being a musician, I joined an administrative role which I still continue to enjoy. But enough of me, so let's bring Les into the conversation to talk about these great tracks.
Hi David.
Hi Les. Good to be here.
As Keith Richards said, it's good to be anywhere.
That's true at our age.
Right, what do you want to know?
We might as well talk through the tracks. I mean, Ain't That a Thing was the first track.
Yeah. Ain't That a Thing. Right. Takes me back to 2017. We went to see my son in Nashville. And somehow, and I think it must have been on the plane, I ended up with community pneumonia.
Good God.
So we had an apartment that we were living in just outside Nashville, and everybody, the rest of the family, all went off to enjoy themselves. I was stuck in bed for 4 days. And the one thing I could do from the bed, because I could hardly move, I felt so grotty, was I could see the TV, which was above the fireplace from the bedroom. So I got onto YouTube. And sort of surfing through YouTube, I came across Muddy Waters doing a concert.
Good Lord, yes, yes.
In fact, it was a club concert. And in walks Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. He persuades them to come up and do a number with him. And the number was I'm a Man, which is one of his old favourites.
Yeah, yeah.
And I forget the exact way through the song, but all of a sudden Mick Jagger sings the line, I'm a man, a full-grown man. And in the background, you hear Muddy Waters yell out, now ain't that a thing? And I thought, oh, what a great line. So it was a case of quickly jot it down before I forgot it. And over a time, I wrote the rest of the song, gave it to Baz, who is brilliant at picking things out like this, because 95% of what we've done is I've written the lyrics, or he's had a riff, and I've written the lyrics, and we've married the two together.
Yeah, yeah.
And luckily, we've had a situation where, in those days, Sam, my son, was available over here to put some of these things together for us. Now we have Antoine, who is with us now, who's absolutely brilliant. I'd like to thank Sam and Antoine for all their input with the digital world, so to speak, recording world, for putting these things together. That's how Ain't That a Thing came about.
Wonderful. I love the start of it, the guitar start to it.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely extraordinary.
Baz is a great guitar player.
Yeah, brilliant.
He's switched in the last few years to doing far much more stuff on acoustic.
Yeah.
He was a great electric guitar player as well. The early days of Bunker Hill, which you'll remember.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of anybody else that I've played with I can't think of anybody else that I've played with long term apart from Pix Pickford, who had that ability to put things over vocally and guitar at the same time. You get great singers, you get guitar players, coming from this little island like Jersey, I mean, it's great. There's some tremendous musicians over here, let's face it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes.
But he's a bit special, that fella.
Great.
And a very funny man.
Right, the second track's Alone Together, which I must say, I love the blend of the voices.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's one of the standout things for me.
Right. This one is, is going to sound a bit schmaltzy, but it's true. I actually wrote this for Kathy, my wife. And this is one where Baz had a riff that he had won something to go with it.
Sure.
And they just married together perfectly.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Being here, I think that I've written down touching lyrics.
Yeah, this was the second song that was put together really as a nod to our dear friend at the time, the late Derek Coulshaw.
Of course, yes. Good old Derek.
Who, of course, was a member of the band.
Yeah.
A great songwriter, some of his songs coming up a bit later on. But Derek was a great guy, and we miss him. And the whole point of these tracks, this is why they're called dedicated demos, is I have been very lucky, and I know I'd speak for Dave Medda, our bass player with us as well, and Baz, is this is like putting something back.
Yeah.
We've had the luck of playing through the years, and I've lost count of the times young musicians have said to me, what was it like playing in the 60s?
Sure, yeah.
It's a period, I think, which is iconic. It's
oh, yeah.
So pioneering and so so special that it rings through today.
Yeah. Oh, I know when I wrote the liner notes for one of the other songs later on, it was the one thing I was saying about us being together in the 60s, you know, and the sort of music that was coming out at that time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there was enormous number of fantastic people who were around at the time.
Yeah, yeah. And we were a bit starved in Jersey because we didn't get that many name artists come over. We
had No.
We had the Beatles in the very early days, the Stones, Hollies a couple of times, etc. But we didn't have a huge constant stream of the name bands coming over. Yeah. And the standard musicianship from those days right up to now has just been just brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Right, so the next one's Dream.
I have got a bit of a thing about mountains. I've got loads of books on Everest and all the rest of it, but I'm scared stiff of heights. Two steps up a ladder and I've had it. If somebody could drop me on the top of Everest with my camera for about half an hour, I'd be well pleased, and then take me off again. and it actually sort of, I remember vaguely having a very, very mild dream one night about mountains and things. And when I woke up, I had one of the lines in my head, and I can't remember which one it was now. I think it was, Coffee and Cognac in Paris or something like that. I thought that sounds a nice line for a song. And I reckon that one, the lyrics for that one were written in the shortest time. I don't reckon that was 10 minutes. And I had the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And again, I listened to Baz's guitar playing on that and Baz's and Dave's bass, the way the whole thing links together. And then Terry O'Donoghue came in and put the piano on for us.
Sure.
I have to confess, I think that's probably my favourite track.
Ah, right.
I like all of them. Yeah, yeah, that one, the way, just the way it sits, and the way the whole thing meshes together, I really love it.
Yeah. Right, and the next one, I've written down here, the perfect tribute to a great friend. This is Forever a Blues Man.
Oh, yeah, well, here's our connection.
Yes.
Mr. Robert Tilling.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, a wonderful guy. This one is another one of those ones that came from nowhere, because as you and I both know, we were at Bob's funeral.
Yeah.
And I remember standing outside. You might even been with us. I honestly can't remember. About half a dozen people standing outside afterwards, talking about Bob and the musical connection.
Yeah.
Because I can remember he used to come into my shop and tell me when a new artist was coming and where they were going to be. And I'm talking before the Art Centre.
Sure.
I'm talking about when they were down at the Pomme d'Or.
Yeah, yeah.
And on one occasion, he came over and said, don't go to the Pomme d'Or because we're up at Victoria College. And he was always great. Of course, before I went to Australia, we had the jazz club.
Yeah, yeah.
I was with you then.
Yeah.
And we were standing outside after the funeral. And I just said, poor old Bob, forever a blues man. Title,
yeah.
So I kept it in my head till I got back to the car. I said, I've got to write this down. So I ended up writing the chorus and the first verse down on the back of a pay card. Because if I forget this, it's gone.
Yeah.
Finished it off. And as it happens, luckily, a little while later, Baz was in Jersey.
Right.
And we managed to have the use of Gilbert O'Sullivan's studio, which I thank him for, and Kevin O'Sullivan for helping us get it all organised, to go in and do these tracks, most of these anyway. And it came out really well. And I'm glad to say, when we released it with the EP, it sold, or sure. sold out.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
I think, we know Bob was a great fan of Bob Dylan.
Oh, and, yeah, well, that's one thing we had in common.
And the other lovely thing on that particular track, of course, is the harmonica, which gives that sort of Dylan
feeling. Yeah, Tony Paul did that.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
And that track was originally supposed to only be guitar and harmonica and a voice.
Yeah.
Because of the Bob Dylan connection.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But when we put it together, I heard it and I said to Sam, I've got to put drums on this.
Mm.
Because it just the way it sat again, it just swung so nicely. And, well, it's come out really well.
Yeah. Right, next we've got Hoping, and I've got here a nostalgic feel to the track.
Correct. This goes back to the Margarine days. After I Live was released, the first single, which there's a link to the on the site if anybody wants to hear it, which was 1969. Our then guitar player, Val Riz, and I decided we'd have a crack at writing a single. Because we wrote the B-side of I Live. And I said, well, at that time, pop music was still the sort of two and a half minute one. It was just starting to change slightly. And this was aimed at sort of 60s Holly sort of sound. But we could never get it a happy medium with the tune. So we ended up by being pushed to one side, and we started working on something else, but it was a cover version. And that did nothing until I came back to Jersey and I met up with Derek. And it was actually in the pipeline at the time we did those four demos at Dick Ray Studio. Do you remember?
Yeah, sure.
But we never finished it. I go to Australia, I come back, I give it to Derek, and we ended up with what we've got, which sounds to me exactly like a 60s pop song.
That's it, yeah exactly. Yeah.
I've got to say here, Dave, there's two or three of these tracks that Phil Wilcox came in and helped us. Phil had retired from singing, great singer Phil, and he basically took over Derek's role where the vocals were concerned, because poor old Derek, he just couldn't hack it any longer, which is so sad.
Right, next on the list we've got Isn't It Strange.
Yeah, this was actually the first attempt at a song for Alzheimer's, for the dementia jersey as they are now.
Yeah.
But I was never really totally happy with it. I wrote it in France, and Baz and Glenys' wife met us in France, and we played around with it, and he took it back. This is what came up, and I love the song, but it didn't put across the message I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted something that really made you sit up and think, my God, this is something. It being here is not meant to be a nice song. It's meant to put over a point, which I think we did. Yeah. But Isn't It Strange was actually the original one, but we swapped it to the other one.
Right, yeah. Okay, Lonely Road. Now, strangely, I put here, the vocal is reminiscent of Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I hadn't thought
There's something about the sound of it. I thought it sounds so like what they used to do.
Are you thinking sort of Lucky Man and things like that off the first album?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll go and listen to it again with that different view. as I said before, one mustn't forget that all of these are demos. And this one is the original demo. I just like the way, again, Baz played it, and he also, the way he put the vocals together on this. This is another sad one, I'm afraid to say, because it was written as a message to a dear friend of ours, who I will name, because Jackie, his wife, has heard the track and knows it's going on, Steve Lamozier.
Oh, yeah.
And Steve was going to be the guitar player that we had with us in Jersey to play Baz's parts.
Sure.
And sadly, he was not in a good place. But he was a great guitar player. He was always saying to me, when are we going to start rehearsing? When are we going to do a couple of gigs or something? Because he just loved doing the original stuff. It's difficult to talk about that one, to be honest.
Sure.
But I think we got the point across that we wanted to make.
Yeah, sure. And the final one is Run for Cover, which I've said strong rhythm finish.
Run for Cover is a tongue-in-cheek job.
Right.
If you listen to the lyrics very carefully, the final mix of this one is going to be very countrified. There's a guy called Ernie, who is Ernie Mallet, who's a drum teacher over here. And in those days, he used to bring me repairs for his kids that I used to do at home. And he played in a band called Run for Cover. And I see him coming down my drive one day, unannounced. And I don't know where it came from, but all of a sudden I had, Run for Cover, here comes a girl who's a two-time lover. Don't ask me why, I have no idea where it came from. And this one's got a bit of a strange twist to it as well, because again, Phil came in and did the vocals for us. But it was the last thing that I did with Derek. And I can see it now. He turned up at home with his guitar and he was getting to a stage where he could not run the chords down. He couldn't play. He couldn't remember what the chords were. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, Sam was home. My son was home. And he sat down and Sam is getting a writing credit on this, because if it wasn't for him, this song would not exist. And he sat with Derek and we went through the chords. We did a guide vocal that Derek did, which we had to piece together. And again, we managed to get into the studio. Phil Wilcox came in and did the vocals. It's just one of those tracks that came out of nowhere. And it's just a fun track, which hopefully nobody will take offence to any of the lyrics, because they're not meant that way. It just meant as a it's the sort of thing Herman's Hermits would record it.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah,
sure. Right, that's all the tracks. All I was going to say was that that we were going to put on a concert last year, but because then COVID stopped us doing it. So the concert is actually this year.
Yeah.
Want to give us some talk on that?
Yeah, well, when it comes to do the concert, we're hoping, well, in fact, we will have all being well with us, Matt McManus on guitar and Noel on guitar, or guitar and vocals, both and Matt, plus Amy Moore on vocals, Terry O'Donoghue on piano and violin, and Vanessa Moore on violin. And hopefully an old friend of mine by the name of Doug Carroll, who's a great guitar player, who I played with and Dave played with Simon Reverne. We're hoping he's going to be able to come, because he's a working musician living in Scotland. So at the moment, with the current situation, we don't know which way that's going to go. So we keep our fingers crossed that we can get everybody there, and of course hoping this time we don't get a problem with the concert going ahead. Friday, October the 8th, everything should go ahead. Tickets will be on sale. CD Johns have very kindly offered to sell the tickets for us as of September the 1st.
Excellent.
£10.
Wonderful.
And all the proceeds are going to the four charities that are named.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, we'll look forward to it.
Yeah, great.
Well, I think that's it.
Thank you, David.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Enjoy the tracks.
Yeah, and we'll keep in touch and see you at the gig.
Indeed. Yeah. Wonderful. Great.